Thank you for this opportunity to present to you a brief something what we do in our community in Cubao Reformed Baptist Church. By the way, I'm Pastor Ramon Macapagal. I'm joined by my co-pastor here, fellow elder Ismael Montejo, who is seated over there. We have another fellow elder who is now in the UK doing deputation work. So he sends his greeting to you. And I will just tell you how we do our benevolent ministry in our community. And we're not boasting about this. We've learned from Dr. Derek Thomas not to boast in anything that we do in the church, boast in our weakness. But this is something that the Lord has led us by His providence to establish a benevolent ministry, which is consistent to the theme of this conference, the gospel and the sufferings of men. And this is what the Lord has led us to do. So we have Christian, not compassionate, but Christian Compassion Ministries. Its main goal is to share and show the love of Christ to people, especially to those who are suffering. So let me begin by how it all started, all right? Now, the urban poor are all around us in Manila. One cannot live very long in the city without being made conscious of the plight of the urban poor in slum communities everywhere. Ironically, there is an obvious contrast between the few who are rich and the many who are very poor. And we have here a picture of the poor people in our community. The CRBC was very aware of the street families who live within 100 meters of our church building. And they appeared every night with their carriton. It's just simple man-made cart. This is their moving house. So wherever they push this and wherever they stop, that will be their house. That will be their kitchen. That will be their bed as well. And so that is what they do. And you will see also here some of the people we minister. They are sleeping on the pavement along the walkway of the roads. And this is what we see. And as we pass on our way home from our meetings to worship God and study His Word, we were constantly made aware of the poor in our midst. Now, opposite our church building is also a squatter community, and many of the children attending our Sunday school classes come from that community. And so because of that, we were very conscious then of the poor in our midst. So in 1993, a talk was conducted to inform us of the situation of the street children. What we learned moved us to tears and has a resolve in our hearts to help the poor around us. So from time to time, we had already distributed clothes and food, and we were concerned for the children who attended our Sunday school classes and sought to help. Yet, at that time, our resources were very limited. So in May 1994, the church was suddenly in receipt of a large gift of money from abroad. So originally, it was given for the victims of volcano eruption at Mount Pinatubo. Now, and then it was, because the ministry stopped, so we thought of using it to start a ministry among the poor in our communities. So we began to receive assurance and encouragement from Christian friends to go ahead with this project, and we saw the hand of the Lord upon it. So this is the start. 2 months after A two-man training in April 1995 was attended by three lady members. We have three lady members there to help us be more aware of what was needed to help poor in families, with families in our area. Then a male member who is at the extreme to your right became the director for this work. And so in 1995, CCM began in one of the flats at the back of our church building with only five children. So that's how it began. And as James said here in chapter 1, 27, this is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and the Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. So the CCM was therefore established to help the urban poor to experience a better way of life through ministering to their physical and spiritual needs. These people, we imagine that there is no way for them to be alleviated from their poverty without the assistance from others. So let us begin. Let me begin by showing you what Christian Compassion Ministries is all about. There are three words here, Christian Compassion Ministries. So first of all, it's Christian because we believe that Christians have this calling from God to share the gospel, and to not only to all the people and especially to the poor. So we seek to do this in every opportunity that the Lord has given us. All the staff of our ministry in CCM are Christians and also are members of our church. And like this one, we teach the children in our orphanage and our residential homes. We teach them the scripture to read and study the Bible. And also we have here what Paul would say. We are we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So that is our main priority in helping these poor people to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. Now, it is compassion because we really see these people who are very less fortunate and almost socially as outcast by our society. And so you see this little boy just picking up used bottles and just to sell it afterward just to have something to eat. And also we have here boys who simply eat a little every day. And so we are concerned about them, and we are not simply, we don't simply love with words, but with action. We want to do something, not simply to bring them the gospel, but to do something to address their needs. So to those who are poor near the church, we help them. To those who are really hungry, to those who are thirsty, and to those who cannot go to school, we bring them to school. And so that is why it is compassion. And then also we have here in the picture, a picture of me preaching to people in the community the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this man here is a victim of a typhoon, a very strong typhoon that flooded the south. And we distribute goods, relief goods, and Bibles to them. And so that is what we do as a work of compassion. And then it is also a ministry because there are three areas that we do ministry. One is community development program. The other one is disaster relief work. And the third one is residential care service like an orphanage. So let us begin with the community development program. Right? Here we have Kathy Gakutan. She is the community development program is the program director for this program. She is still single. I don't know why, but she is still single. And she is the director of this program. And this is one of the what we do in this program. It is a drop-in center. It is for the homeless. We help the street dwellers. So this is a regular annual camp that we do for them. We gather them to a place where we feed them, and then we preach them the gospel for 3 days. That is what we do. But on Thursdays, we have a regular meetings for them. We invite the street people to go to our church, and then we feed them. They wash their clothes. They take a bath because they're not used to taking a bath. So you will know how messy they are. But they take a bath. We provide them soap and everything that they need. And then we feed them. And then after feeding them, the food for their physical bodies, we feed them with the Bible. So we preach them the gospel as well. So that is what we do with this ministry. And one of the biggest thing that we do in the community development program is the educational assistance program, right? This program provides a scholarship, tuition fees, school supplies, and monthly allowance for the children in the community whose family cannot afford to bring them to school. That is what we do. So let me bring you to this area that we serve in our community. This is Agham Road. You will see a youth area. There you are. That's a big area of slum area that you see there. And we seek to help the people there. And the land actually is owned by the government, the National Housing Authority. But thousands have been informally settling for years in this area. So they are what we say, what we call squatters. They don't own the land, but they live there. And so the government cannot do anything about it. They relocate them, but some of them remain there. Let me introduce to you one family in this area, the Bermas family. Now, we have here the parents, Mr. Angeles, I don't know how you will pronounce it, Angeles. And then the wife is Lourdes. Angeles and Lourdes are living together for 20 years. They're not married because marriage for them is only for those who can afford. You don't have money to celebrate a wedding ceremony, so you just get rid of that. You don't have to. You just live together and treat it as married couple. That is their situation. Okay, now they have 6 children, right? And Angeles actually sells sunglasses and also cell phone cases. He goes around the community and try to sell these items. But you know what? This is his earning per day. $10 per day. Could you imagine? How can you support 6 children with $10 a day? So that is the situation of the Bermas family. And sadly, Angeles died in 2016 due to diabetes. Now, diabetes can be treated, can be controlled, but with poor families, they just wait until they die with this illness because they cannot afford the medicine for this one. So Lourdes was left to take care of his family, of her six children. And Lourdes told our social worker that where is that now? It got disappeared, I'm sorry. Yeah. So this is what she said to our social worker. We have no wealth to give our children, but we hope we can get them good education so they can find better jobs than us in the future. Somehow education is something that they hope for their children to attain so that somehow they can rise from the situation of poverty. And so with that, Lourdes being left alone, she needs to support her six children. And Joshua, the youngest, is being helped by Christian Compassion Ministries. And this is Joshua. We have him there. Now, Joshua is provided with tuition fees to go to school, school supplies, and allowance every month so that he can continue going to school. Now, Lourdes now regularly attends Bible studies. So we're praying that she will be converted through those Bible studies. And you see, the situation here with the poor in our community is because of they have little education, few job opportunities, and poverty. It's just a cycle. It's an unbreakable cycle for them. So we need to somehow do some intervention on it just to break the cycle. So that is what we do in CCM. So that's Educational Community Development Program, Educational Assistance Program. We are serving more than 300 children, sending them to school, supporting them. That is what we do in that community. We also bring to school the people on the streets, the children who are sleeping on the street. We try to help them, bring them to school. It's been hard because they don't want to go to school, actually. They love the life on the street. All the dangers, all the risk in the street, they love it. They want it there. But we try our best to really bring them to school to study. And some of them continue studying, some of them stop because they don't like being roomed in one in one classroom. They don't like that. Anyway, that's what we do. Let me now tour you to our, that's what we do, giving them school supplies. Now, we have one of the Christian social workers, a member of our church, Tina. And then we also train them. Every year we have meetings for them, teaching them how to use the Bible for their lives. And we do that training and Bible teaching for them, especially the children and the teenagers. We also, these people as well are vulnerable to calamities. So they easily, because their place are on the low-lying areas in our community. So when there is heavy rain, they are the first to be hit by flooding. And their houses are made of light materials, so fire is so easy. And so when they are caught with fire, so we help them. We give them construction materials just to rebuild their houses. And then give them relief goods whenever they are affected by typhoon. Actually, at this moment, we are distributing relief goods to some of the communities we serve because it was, when we left, it was raining hard and there was flood everywhere in our community. And so that is what we do. Let me now bring you to our residential care program. It's like an orphanage. And our director there is Mylene Balairo. She is the central head. And I still don't know. I also do not know why she is still single. I know. We have many singles in our church, all right? So she is still single. And the children in the homes, are sexually abused, physically abused, abandoned, neglected. The government are referring them to us to take care. And the children may experience one of these four, probably sexually abused, some of them sexually abused and physically abused. But I tell you, most of them, these four are true of them. They are sexually abused, they are physically abused, abandoned, and neglected. And so we bring them to our homes and we take care of that. We try to provide a loving family environment in the home. We encourage the children, like playing games, be children. And then we also share the gospel to them. They have a regular daily devotion led by the house parents in the home. So that is what we do. We also teach them how to be responsible. They clean their own place. They do some household chores. That is what we make them do. And then we teach them how to learn how to do some livelihood, like here, cooking, baking. We do that. Well, these are some of the children who in the homes who goes to school to study. They're having books, and then wait. She cannot wait. I'm sorry. I will introduce you to Annalyn. She is the director of the residential care program. So is going to present to us about the girls' home.
Welcome to the girls' home. The homes here are made up of three different houses. Come and take a look at one of them. Each home houses around 15 girls. The girls eat together with their house mother as a family. Upstairs, there are four bedrooms. Each bedroom has four girls. This is our office. The social workers look after the cases of each child. There is also a conference room for counseling and meeting. A library where our girls do extra tutorials and homeworks after school. This is the kitchen where all the food is prepared. Now we have this new equipment, we can train our children in baking. There is a rooftop area where we hold events and birthday parties.
Yeah. And we have another video, a very short one about this girl whom we call Lenny. That's not her real name. So we are going to look at some about her life story.
Lenny was 8 years old when she first came to CCM. We asked her what life was like before CCM.
My life then was hard,
very hard. My brothers and sisters and I would beg. Often we didn't have breakfast. Sometimes we didn't have anything to eat for a whole day. How did you feel when you came to CCM? I felt sad and alone. I didn't want to leave my family, and I didn't yet know people here. Lenny first heard the gospel during the nightly devotions at CCM. She told us what she thought of the devotions. At first I was bored, because I felt like they were always the same. Sometimes I did enjoy it though. What were your favourite things when you came to CCM? My most favourite thing was having parties. I was young then. When I came to CCM, it was the first time I was able to celebrate my birthday. Lenny,
like so many children, still really missed her family. When she was 10, she ran away from the CCM homes, hoping to find her family. Eventually, she found a kind tricycle driver who helped her find her mother. CCM staff were very worried for her safety.
When I ran away, I thought I'd be happy back home. But when my mum talked to me, I felt like she didn't want me there. Although I didn't want to come back to CCM, when I realised they didn't want me at home, I chose to come back.
How did you feel when you came back to CCM?
I was obviously sad at that time, but slowly I realised that life was much better and more comfortable at CCM compared to being at home.
How did you come to know the Lord Jesus?
I came to know the Lord when I was at CCM's 2014 teenage camp. Our speaker preached about the power of the cross. It was there that I understood all the examples he gave. For example, if I were to die that night, I knew I'd go to hell. In another example he gave, I felt like I was one of the people who crucified Christ. I was so ashamed, I wanted the preaching to end. When he was finished speaking, I realised I was such a sinner, so undeserving, I didn't deserve all the things I have.
In 2015, Lenny was baptised and became a church member. Praise God for this.
Thank you. Lenny is now helping in our Sunday school. She's now teaching small children. And let's go to the boys' home, a small tour as well, a short tour. That is Pastor Brian Ellis with cutting up the ribbon of our boys' home. And then the boys' home can accommodate 12 boys. It began with 12 boys, then it increased to 16 boys, then to 33 boys. They are referred to by the Department of Social Welfare Department. And then this is the CCM staff, all of us. You can see there in the photo. And so the boys have very similar setup to the girls' home. So that is what we do. Now let me just share to you some of the news and prayer points. So let's begin with the community. We would like to thank God, first of all, for sustaining us with the various activities that we do in CCM, like camps, meetings, and the daily vacation Bible school. They are attended by the children and teens over the summer, and the gospel is taught to them, and then the children got to learn how to use the Bible, read and use the Bible as well. So please pray for the salvation of these children, and then continue to pray as well for the staff. They need strength and wisdom how to deal with these children in the community, in the educational assistance program, and also in our work for the homeless, safety and security. It's very dangerous living on the streets, so let's pray for their safety. And then conversion as well. We have, I think, several people from the street got converted and now are members of our church. And we have an annual camp for them, so that will be in October. Let's also pray for that. And then also, we also have a weekly medical checkup for these street people. So we have a doctor, a Christian doctor, who checks them up and then give free medicine to them, right? And then let's also pray for the homes, the new staff. We need new staff. If you are a Christian, if you want to go to the Philippines, you're welcome. So we need social workers. You must be a licensed social worker, of course. We need cook, we need house parents. So that is the need of the home. We thank God for providing us Christian workers. They have also summer activities, and also pray for the conversion of the people we minister, the children we minister in the homes. We have problem as well in the homes. Thanksgiving first. These are the people who became Christians through our ministry and were baptized and became members of our church. As you will see, Pastor Brian Ellis, myself, and then Pastor Ismael baptized all these people from CCM. And then also, this is some of our requests. Adjustment, please pray for the adjustments for the children when during their stay in the homes. It's difficult for them to adjust to a new situation. And then let's also pray for possible reunification of families. This is required by the government. We must seek to reconcile them to their families, to their parents or relatives. So that is what we do. And then also the challenges in dealing with these children. We need wisdom, strength, and perseverance for the staff. The challenges sometimes is we see outright disobedience. They're used to really disobeying authorities. It's a problem for us. Children running away. And please pray for the staff to continue loving them while they discipline them. And some children sadly don't like to finish their schooling. It's just not their their cup of tea. They don't like going to school, so they stop. So pray for perseverance and for the staff in guiding them. Please pray for safety of our children. Some of them have cases. Lenny was sexually abused. So there is a case ongoing. So our social workers help them in as they face these cases. And but we thank the Lord overall for what He is doing through this ministry of Christian Compassion Ministry. So if you want to know more about CCM, I brought a few copies of our magazine. It's a newsletter, actually, CCM Update. I have there at the back. And then also a brochure concerning our ministries. And it's in Tagalog. Salamat po. All right. Thank you for bearing with me as I present to you our ministry. If you want to know more about CCM, you just get brochure there. And if you want to contact CCM, there is also provided a website and phone numbers for you to contact. Thank you.